Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true.
Hello again. It's time for the Music of Marriage with
Bob
and Abby. Right?
That's right. That's us.
That our identity still today. We identify as Bob and Evie today anyway. Right, Daryl? Do we look still like Bob and Evie? Our identity hasn't changed since last
no,
week.
No, I think that's Bob and Evie in Studio A, in the flesh.
So anyway, we're trying to continue here talking on the Music of Marriage about to encourage us all about answers to, you know,
life's problems, challenges.
But not emphasizing problems, emphasizing how to keep the music playing. And of course, that requires a lot of things that we try to study and talk about over the years. We have a website called themusicofmarriage.com and a book called How to Make Your Marriage Sing, Biblical Principles to Keep the Music Playing. And we did a series too called God's Love Language recently, based on the different words of the famous 1 Corinthians love passage in the Bible. And we soon will be having a book come out based on that called God's Love Language
for Marriage.
Right, for marriage.
Yes.
So last week was All of Me, which you can, if you don't remember, you can guess it was about giving all of ourselves. You know, when we throw our hat into the ring of marriage, it's a pretty consuming relationship, right? So
hopefully in a good way, right?
Right, well, in every way, it you know, our whole life is now subject to this commitment. Mm-hmm. And it changes a lot of things, and it can you know, forces us to grow and learn. So this week we're talking about the true love equation, as in less of me plus more of you equals the best of us. So
that could be mathematically, that's actually proven, right?
A song that we're writing. But anyway, now less of me plus more of you equals the best of us. So in thinking about how things come at you from people, your spouses, you know, your most direct, usually, relationship. Other people, too, can throw things at you, or you can have little situations where you feel awkward, like, oh, no, they're offended, or they're letting me know I did something wrong. That hurts. How do I deal with that? Do I need this person in my life? They're so oversensitive, or they're accusing me, or whatever. How do we deal with the reality of people being, you know, angered or offended by something we did? Then they come back at us in their different ways that they do. And it's like, oh my goodness, you know. And it can go on and on, or we retreat. But in marriage, you're kind of stuck to figure it out because you're married. So you want to make your marriage last. You want to learn how to, and you want your relationships to improve, but you've got to deal with this. I was saying to Bob, you know, it's like you have to learn, it's like a racetrack. You have to learn to swerve around, you know, swerve around these things rather than get like totally, totally just stopped in your tracks and destroyed by these things. But you've got to be on your toes, and you've got to start employing, you know, you've got to think about how to deal with it. So we have some suggestions and thoughts about that that we have tried to summarize here today about how to be less of ourselves. I was talking about even to Bob, I was saying, you know, it's like I have to erase myself, just get myself out of the equation. Because if it's about me, and, oh, you're supposed to, your job in life is to make me happy, you know, then it's going to take longer to get to the best of a relationship. Mm-hmm. But the more we erase ourselves, which is really the opposite of the trend, which is this boundaries trend, which is very evil, actually, and opposite of what's going to keep relationships going. It's saying, oh, I'm so hurt by you. I don't feel safe. I feel unhappy. I feel so sad. I feel so unloved. I feel so angry. I feel so hurt because, how, you know, you keep doing this. And it could be a little everyday thing. It could be a more serious thing. But how is it going to be an answer if you put up a wall? How are you going to have a relationship with someone that you put up a wall and say, oh, got to fence you out of my life? And now it's even popular to say, they encourage some of these books and encourage doing that to your spouse, which is horrific, let alone to your parents. And we see that being played out very real in news headlines frequently these days, where people who are very well known just ice out their family. So how is that improving things to do that? It's like saying, my car's broken, but I'm just going to leave it in the ditch and I'm not going to go try to find a new engine. I'm not going to get help to see how to make it run. Oh, talk about the music of marriage. While I turn my phone off, I'll let Bob talk.
Well, you know, it happens to the best of us. At least it wasn't during a sermon in church. But
that was a sermon. I was on a roll. I need to stop for a while. Take over.
No, that's great.
You always finish my sentences anyway.
No, but...
just kidding.
But you do have to get a new perspective to really come to the table with less of yourself and more of your spouse, because it's very natural to think of ourselves first, because, you know, actually, when you think about it, it's why we're commanded in the Bible to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, because God knows very well how much we love ourselves. And so if you put that to the test, right, then you're going to treat your neighbor pretty darn good, you know. And you could be hard on yourself, right? Like if you know, well, you got to improve in this area or that area. Because you love yourself, you want to actually improve and you want to help things out. You never say, well, I'm just going to forget myself and this is the end of myself. I'm not going to have a relationship with myself anymore. So therefore...
So then don't treat somebody else that way. I'm not going to have a relationship with you anymore. I'll be cordial around you, but... Other than that, my heart is frosted over forever because you have blown it too many times and I'm just too good for you. That's what the Bible says, do unto others as you would do. Would you do that to yourself? But see, that's the whole thing. For me, it's like, look at yourself, which is what the Bible says. Look at the log in your own eye before you pull the speck out of another's eye, which is Jesus' way of saying, you can do this. There is a log in your own eye. I always stumbled over that that log. Like, where is it? I don't see the log in my own eye. I just see it in Bob's eye. I just see it in that person's eye. Like, that is just so hard to do.
It's a speck, my dear.
but it's what we're commanded to do, because when we actually, like I was saying, erase ourselves. Like, just erase yourself, Evie. It's not about you. It's about God first and the others first. So as soon as we employ that and train ourselves to start thinking that way and take action accordingly, everything becomes amazing, because who doesn't love being treated well? So if you start, and then they're going to treat you well. So that's how to that's one way, anyway. True love requires sacrifice. And
what does that mean, really? I mean, sacrifice itself actually deepens the commitment of a marriage, because it really shows how far you're willing to go for the sake of your marriage. And it shows how much you love your spouse, correct?
You would know.
Do I get this right? I hope I would.
The sacrifice expert. No, but, I'm just being...
You know, but it does require, as Evelyn says, sacrifice requires erasing yourself. It's a good thing, you know. It's like, if you start writing a sentence, for instance, and you notice that the word I is in it quite a bit, or me, start erasing the I's and the me's and inserting you. I say from experience, Evelyn mentioned that to me when I was kind of taking my own self-centered approach about something. And she said, notice how many times you said I, in that sentence. I want this. I would rather have this. And I, I this, I that. So I thought, well, that's true. It's true. I'm focused on myself, and I'm not focused on what you would desire. But the thing is how do you get beyond yourself, right? If your tendency, for instance, is to react emotionally to, what is said to you, or your tendency is to get easily annoyed at something that is said to you, and we're talking about, obviously, everyday marriage type of experience. So how do you get beyond yourself?
Well, it gets better when you serve. This is that agape love thing we were talking about last week, that Greek word for describing the kind of love that God has that we really don't possess, but that he expects us to strive for, and that is giving without expecting payback, because God does not need to give it to us to the extent that he did, to give us hope for our condition, to give us his word, to help us with our condition, our thoughts, our practical living. He gives us a whole book that he's preserved throughout history to help us with that. But then he gave himself, and he didn't do it because he was getting anything back from us. He gave it because that's what pure love is. It gives without expecting anything in return. So when we practice that, when we get our minds to start meditating on that reality, that's what love is, that's the catalyst for change. That's the catalyst for things to go in a positive direction. It works every time.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true, and it's principally right, but unfortunately, often our emotions get in the way because we tend to live in this flesh and blood world as opposed to a spiritual world where we're seeing,
beyond the circumstance.
Beyond what the person is saying or how they look or whatever. We're seeing in our spouse, if you're Christian, Christ in that spouse, as opposed to the things that we're saying are ugly or, impossible. And so we tend to live in this emotional realm where we react instead of thinking things through and acting. famous artist, martial artist, and philosopher Bruce Lee said, "You will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything that is said to you. True power is sitting back and observing everything with logic. If words control you, that means everyone else can control you. Breathe and allow things to pass." And that was a very insightful thing, And, of course, in real life, he was like that. We know people who know him in real life. And he actually practiced what he preached. But instead of having an emotional reaction to something your spouse says to you, or your child or your in-law, you know, sit back and observe things rationally and
take 4 seconds. I heard a DJ
take four
on,
seconds to respond.
On, I don't know her name, to give her credit, Pam somebody on hippie radio station, saying that the other day when I was driving around, saying, you know, if you take four, count to four before responding, and it gives you time just to kind of check, you know, yourself so that you can get a better result in the situation. So, and that's what we want. What, you know, living in marriage and in life isn't successful marriage and relationship. It's not a to-do list. Sometimes you get the feeling that, well, if we go on a date every Friday night, or if I buy her a diamond every, or if I make sure do this, that, and the other, then it's like we're working ourselves to the reward of love. But, you know, that's not sufficient, a list of to-dos, which, of course, in marriage and relationships, there are things you should do and work at doing better. But it's using the imagination, too, which I think the music of marriage concept is like thinking playfully and creatively and having a vision and being hopeful. And doing that, sacrifice will be involved, because you're not just looking at this moment, these words that were just said, this argument that was just had, this horrible blow-up that was just had, those words that were just spoken that are so hurtful, and that's like, oh, the emergency brake went on, or, you know, you're up in flames. But we can fly past all of that, and we can soar. And the whole point of what we want is we want happiness in marriage. There's some book out there that our kids told us about on marriage, and it said, God doesn't care about happiness in marriage as much as he cares about holiness. Well, I contend he cares equally about both, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Happiness, you know, love wants people around us to be happy, and that's who God is. So we picked this Frank Sinatra song called Fly Me to the Moon by Diana Krall. It's kind of a neat jazzy version, because, you know, we need to think really positive, like really way out there. We need to ask God for the moon. We need to imagine beyond all we could ask or think. And guess who's told us to do that? God tells us to do that in his word.
And when you do that, you get a new perspective on life. You get, and you create an environment for your marriage that is, as you said, you know, positive. And all of the little tit-for-tat annoyances take their place in that, but they don't make it unsettled.
And they don't dominate.
They don't dominate, right?
So we're going to let Diana Krall here fly us to the moon.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with song. Let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Thank you.
to bend the door. In other words, please be true. Other words, in other words, in other words, in other words, in other words, I know you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Good night. Anthony Wilson on guitar. Jeff Hamilton. John Clayton, thank you and God bless you.
So that's certainly a new perspective on marriage. Fly me to the moon and see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. So
there was a book out. Men are from Pluto, Mars, and women are from Jupiter or something. Jupiter and Mars. I got it mixed up. Anyway, sometimes I think you're from Pluto, and you think I'm from Mars. I don't know, some planet that doesn't exist. But
you're the only one with the rings.
Well, so that's pretty funny. Anyway.
But no, that's...
you do too, have one.
I've listened to that song for, all my life, really, Fly Me to the Moon. And, I just thought it was kind of a clever song. But it really dawned on me, listening to it this week, that you could either have a worm's eye view perspective from the earth, or you can have a bird's eye view perspective from soaring through the air and even up to the moon. If you take a ride in one of, what's the guy?
Beautiful Balloon?
Yeah.
What's that? Up and Away?
Yeah.
Who was that? Daryl the Letterman?
The Fifth Dimension.
Fifth Dimension,
that's right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway,
as you can tell, we're trying to elevate—no pun intended—the
conversation.
Elevate our attitude about marriage and about life itself and living life.
Yeah. But this whole thing, obviously, of sacrifice, kind of brings it back down to earth, because in order to sacrifice, you have to, say, give up things. You have to have a different mindset than what you normally would do, just thinking of yourself. And, fortunately, we have a great example, and that is the Son of God. And what we need to do is objectify things as Jesus did, offenses, that is. And he looked outside himself to his reason for being on earth in the first place, and also for anticipating the results of his sacrifice. So actually he saw a purpose in sacrifice, and that's a model for us. When we sacrifice, it's not like, oh, gee, I got to sacrifice. There's a purpose in this, and there's a joy in this,
Sacrificing for your spouse or anyone isn't an end in itself, right? It's like you say,
it
says in the Bible, it describes how that agape love, that unconditional love that God gives us without anything we've done to deserve it, but the way he accomplishes that, and the way we would accomplish that and swerve around these blowout tires and things that we have in our relationships, in our marriage, the way we swerve around that is we still want to win the race. If you're on the Indy 500, and you see some guy's tire falls off and it's rolling all around, or the other guy's just going to pull over and quit, or does he just pull over and quit? No, they all want that prize. They want that legacy. They want that positive result. And that's what Jesus wanted. For the joy that was set before him, happiness, joy.
He endured the cross.
So that's that thing we're talking about, being positive, and God wants us to be happy.
As a matter of fact, out of, in Isaiah 53, it said about Jesus' suffering, out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. But so his sacrifice gave him great satisfaction. And that's almost hard to fathom, really, because how often does true sacrifice that actually causes us pain and suffering, let alone death, make us satisfied?
It might cause us discomfort. It may cause us poverty.
Yeah.
A lot of inconvenient and very difficult things. But it's that, it's that joy at the end. It's the result of what. So when we come up to a situation, don't just see that as, oh, this is the end of the road, and let it block your view of the finish line down there and all the grand things that you could win and earn, you know, which you do when you stay the course and you don't quit because the challenges are too high. So you have your mind and your eyes set on that prize. Just like when you give your vows in marriage, you're usually not thinking anything, but you'll eternally be in love. Or you might have a few doubts like, well, I hope it lasts. My brother-in-law said it wouldn't last 5 years, but I'll try to forget that. You hear these negative things around you about marriage because you don't see it on a pedestal in the same way it used to be when we were younger. Things have changed a lot in terms of the voices out there and what they're saying about it. But we all know within us, we're all the same. We're all the kind of people who like to get up in the morning and have people around us be pleasant. We like to have people show kindness. We like to have our spouse show appreciation. We're always seeking these positive things. And to bridge over and swerve around the stuff, you know, yeah, we have to take a detour. We have to take detours in life sometimes. But even those, God has mapped out for us before we were even born, knowing that those 14 years of quote-unquote hell that you might have gone through, or 4 months of it, or 4 hours of it, you see this all throughout the Bible. The big heroes of the Bible that we read about went through some very tough times in their life. But the reason God puts those stories in there for us, which are actually historically true events and people, is so that we won't get discouraged. You know, when we've got a sea in front of us and we're trying to get across it with a bunch of people and there's an army coming behind and we're trapped, God can part that water, pile it up and make a dry path for us all to go through. You know, when there's some people in power who say, yeah, you can't talk about God anymore. You can't worship God anymore, folks. We're going to worship this thing over here. And if you do worship God, guess what? We've got a fiery furnace for you. Well, this has happened in different ways throughout history, but there was a hero in the Bible, and I heard this preached on so many times in the Bible story of Daniel. What happened when he was in the lion's den? What happened when he and his friends were thrown into the fire for saying, no, we'll worship God, thank you anyway, sir. Almighty Sir, telling us who we can and can't worship. We will worship God. Okay, chuck you into the fire. Hey, they're still walking around in there. Their clothes aren't even singed. Get them out of there. This is like, what is going on? God protected them in the fire. Do we do that? Are we willing?
There was a fourth person in there with them.
Yeah.
That wasn't thrown in.
Yeah. And then they got thrown in the lion's den. Overnight, oh, this will do them in. We can't have these Christians' voices around here. We can't have people praying anymore, telling us about God. oh, how come there's this lions are just peacefully sitting there like little puppy dogs with their mouths closed? They're not devouring these wicked Christian people. Oh, so, but do we look at our challenges in that same way, with knowing that we have the power and the presence of and the performance of Christ, who mm-hmm. went before us, who's saying, "I'm with you," like he was with those guys in the fiery furnace.
Yeah. All of those and those stories are there for a reason, to teach us principles and lessons, but we have to take them and run with them and bring them down to earth. And so when you're saying sacrifice swerves around obstacles, what are three obstacles? Just take three, for instance. Well, I think the first obstacle is myself, right? Remove it, and then the way is paved for a smooth ride. You know, character is a big part of yourself. I mean, you know, change those things in you that cause friction and contention, and you're on your way. Do the difficult but challenging. Putting off and putting on of 1 Corinthians 13, you know, put on the things that are, it says love is, and put off the things that love is not. Okay. And so what would be another obstacle, Evelyn?
Well, the influence of people around us on our thinking can get in the way. So think about how much of other people's thoughts you're ingesting when you're surfing around on YouTube, the internet, the news, what is filtering into your mind and changing the way you think. Is that going to help your relationship, or is it going to cause you to put up walls of separation? Mm-hmm. And the third obstacle is allowing the mundane lists of, you know, making it about to-dos. We will disappoint each other. We will let each other down. We have character flaws, all of us, and they come out more and more as we're married. You know, you're always late, you always do this, and that's, you know, annoying. Or, gee, if we do these things, you know, life will be great. But life is great because God has made a way for us for it to be great, and that includes the times we stumble and fall. So if we include everyone we know in that equation, you know, it's less of us, more of others, more of God's perspective on things. Then again, we'll have that sense of, we'll have that connectedness to each other. And yeah. We will reconnect with people, and we'll be able to say, baby, we're really in love. Like Hank Williams sang.
That's right. And so I'll just quickly, before we get to Hank, mention three things that enable you to rise above the mundane things that tend to drown out romance. And one is to do things with each other that inspires romance. You know, we often went for the bed and breakfasts for getaways, you know, especially even when we had four kids, we did that, you know, once a quarter, and had the kids babysat for an entire weekend, you know. And, you know, that's just one example. Everyone can think of examples of getaways they can do, things that, you know, just take you out of the ordinary, you know, and make you, and that inspires romance. And then say things that fan the flames of romance. You know, sweet nothings.
You look better today than you did yesterday, dear.
Yes, right.
That'll really do it.
You're putting gas on this fire now.
You did a good job. It's just the recipe wasn't that great. It's not your fault. It was the recipe.
Yes. Right.
Things like that. That'll fan the flames of your romance.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little humor. It does. Levity does help, you know. What's the meaning of levity? It kind of like lifts you out of.
Levitate.
Yeah, lifts you up. And then the other thing is, let romantic love be sincere and unselfish.
That's a whole other lifetime to figure that one out. So we'll just let Hank take it away, right, Daryl?
Cue up "Why Don't You Love Me Like You Used to Do" by Hank Williams, or is that?
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we got a few in there.
There's so many songs. It's fun to pick them out here at the Music of Marriage.
What is this one again?
Baby, We Are Really in Love.
Like I'm happy with you, oh Cupid, just give us a show. If you're thinking of me like I'm thinking of you, then I know what you're thinking of. If you're loving me like I'm loving you, baby, we're really in love. I run around in circles and turn in fire alarms. I'm nutty as a fruitcake when you're not in my arms. If you're meant for me like I'm meant for you, baby, we fit like a glove. If you're loving me like I'm loving you, baby, we're really in love. Just give us a show. If you're dreaming of me like I'm dreaming of you, then I know what you're dreaming of. If you're loving me like I'm loving you, baby, we're really in love. Now folks think I've gone crazy and I don't feel too sure, and yet there's nothing wrong with me that wedding bells won't cure. If you go for me like I go for you, baby, we fit like a glove. If you're loving me like I'm loving you, baby, we're really in love.
Welcome back to the Music of Marriage. We've been talking about the true love equation. Less of me equals more of you, and less of me plus more of you equals the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
So I made that up myself. You could probably apply that. I think it works if you think about it.
I think that beats marriage as a 50-50 relationship easily.
Yeah, it goes 100-100, they say. Yeah. Anyway, so the love equation, how to get to that fly me to the moon, you know, swerve around obstacles. Don't let the most dramatic, dramatic challenges cause you to just pull off the track, you know, and quit. And also, we want to talk about taking down walls, taking down boundaries between people. Now, we have to be wise. I'm not saying there aren't times when you have to kind of use your head. But if you operate from the point of your goal is the happiness and the well-being of the other person, and to stay connected, even it, you know, these are the things we can figure out, especially through the practice of prayer, practicing peace, practicing positivity. We want unity. You want to preserve unity. And if you don't have unity, and there could be top three most difficult people in your life that come to mind, well, it seems totally impossible, right, that anything could change with them. But had you tried prayer? If you haven't tried prayer, sorry, you you don't get a pass.
Yeah.
Because I have tried prayer with the most difficult people, and people who say, this is permanent, da 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 da, this marriage is over. But not me personally, but, and I have prayed. Lo and behold, nope, God fixed it. Practice prayer with your most arch enemy or whoever. Practice prayer. Make that your go-to, your first thing you do, because mm-hmm. the results will blow your mind. Practice peace. I think
be a peacemaker.
We can figure out
a peacemaker.
Take the 4-second challenge where when something is said, take at least 4 seconds before you respond, and maybe 4 days, maybe 4 years, maybe never respond, because you might just say something that'll instigate more bad stuff.
But John Lennon said something very wise, and that is, give peace a chance. So if you're practicing peace and it's not coming, give it a chance. The more you practice it, eventually it'll come. Don't you think, Eddie?
I guess. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me. I mean, why not?
What is peace?
What is the alternative?
So
the next one is practice positivity. I like to find little rhyming things. Practice prayer, practice peace, practice positivity. Because if we don't have a vision, like that Fly Me to the Moon song, mm-hmm. you know, if we don't, I would say this, take whatever makes you the happiest or whatever the most amazing vision you could have of what your marriage could be like and what your relationships could be like. And maybe you're not used to thinking of anything much positive. So it can be a mm-hmm. challenge. But positivity isn't just a humanistic power of positive thinking. You can do it. It's because it's based on Christ, who's the ultimate positivity. And he injects what looks like deadness with life and love. And you're like, how the heck did this happen? How did this happen? That this person, like the least, like the most difficult person, the most whatever, fill in the blanks, could now be this. Well, again, had you tried praying? What are the chances that my dad, who's given 20 minutes to live, and we get a whole bunch of prayer going, and all of a sudden doctors say, I don't know what happened, but he just started coming back to life. Well, we prayed. You know, apply mm-hmm. that to, in the moment, apply it to everything. It's, I don't want to say a lucky charm, because there's no luck really with God, but it's so real. Mm-hmm. God's like so waiting, when all we have to do is like put the plug in for that power. And you know, there was that Norman Vincent Peale guy, The Power of Positive Thinking. Wasn't that out in the 60s or 70s? He was a big...
he wrote a book.
And who doesn't want to follow somebody that says that all the time? And that's great, but it's only our own power if we don't plug in to what God has to offer us.
Yeah, Henry Ford said, when you think you've done everything, you haven't. And I think... It took him how many times? 785 times or something like that. And some high number like that to invent the light bulb.
Henry Ford?
Yeah.
Invented the light bulb.
Oh, that was Edison. No. Oh, my God.
Fact of the day. No, I'm rewriting history.
I'm confusing my guys.
Do you identify as Henry Ford today?
There's a light bulb going off in my head.
Einstein.
I don't think so.
Just think how far Einstein could have gone if he had only finished school.
Yeah.
That's what Barney said in one of the Andy Griffith shows, right? He did say that. Just think how far Einstein would have gone if he'd finished school, Andy. Just think. So
yeah.
Anyway,
okay,
Bob,
back to reality.
What's your wrap-up point here that you were trying to make about Henry Ford?
Well, the first Model T, I think it did have a light, didn't it? It did have a few lights on it, so there's some connection there.
There's a connection when the lights go on.
Yeah.
Einstein made the lights go on, but it took him 1,000 failures first.
No, it was Thomas Edison who said
that. I mean Edison, so. Not Einstein. I think we better quit.
Yeah. So anything is possible, including, you know, exaggeration, when you set your mind to thinking positively.
So failure in your marriage is not even possible when humble service and commitment overcomes evil with good. Love thrives in the soil of sacrifice. Love thrives in the sunshine of sacrifice. Love thrives in the sentiment of sacrifice. Emotions are bound in unity. We feel better. Emotions are bound in security, knowing that you're not going to be ditched because you messed up. That's the security we have in Christ, and that we can now practice with each other. And emotions are bound in levity, joy, happiness, and that is the reward of
light and right. Right.
That is the reward of love based on sacrificial living, that agape love that we talk, unconditional love. So therefore, you feel like dancing, right? Cheek to cheek with Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
Have a good week, folks.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I see. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek, yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seems to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to climb to mountain, reach the highest peak. But it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Now mama, dance with me, I want my arms about you, the charms about you will carry me through. Yes, heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we out together, dance cheek to cheek. Take it, Ella, swing it.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to climb, to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I love to go out fishing in a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Come on and dance with me. I want my arm about you, the charm about you will carry me through to heaven. I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I seek. When we're out together, dancing cheek to cheek.
Yes, dance with me.
I want my arms about you.
Cheek to cheek.